John's Gospel, chapter 16, and we're going to read from the end of the chapter, beginning at verse 25. Here is our Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples in the upper room. John 16 and verse 25. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now here in John's Gospel, chapters 14 to 16, we have Jesus' ministry to his disciples in the upper room. In light of his upcoming sufferings and death, which Jesus was preparing them for, these passages are full of encouragement and exhortation. You'll find these themes prominent as you read through those chapters. Heaven. Jesus wanted them to know that he was going to prepare a place for them. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't going to leave them alone. He was going to send a comforter who was going to be with them continually. The reminder that as believers they would experience peace in the midst of tribulation. He warned them many troubles would mark their lives as they remained in this world, but they didn't have to worry because he had overcome the world, and so he could have peace. He reminded them of the need to continually abide in him. Even though he was returning to heaven, there was the possibility still of a real vital relationship with the Lord Jesus. They could continue in the closest contact with him, even though they couldn't see him. And then he also exhorted them concerning love among the brethren. Now, part of this ministry of preparation in the upper room was the warning to his disciples that in the hour of his suffering and death, they would fail in a terrible way. They needed to learn about their weakness and their need of absolute dependence upon God and his grace to be able to go on following him as his disciples. Now, their desertion would have a significant impact on Jesus' experience as he went into these sufferings surrounding the cross. It meant that he would be alone, that the hours of suffering and death would be marked by loneliness. So let's begin by looking at that this morning, Jesus' experience of loneliness. Jesus' experience of loneliness. As I've just said, the desertion by the disciples when he was arrested would bring about Jesus' experience of loneliness. They would leave him and he would be all alone. But as he warned them here, it's not their responsibility that is being highlighted. He says to them in verse 32, Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered. It points to something being done to them during this time. In the gospel, such language is descriptive of the work of God. Listen to these words of the Lord Jesus from Matthew 26, and Jesus will quote from the Old Testament prophet Zechariah. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Now, these words of the Lord Jesus were not denying their responsibility. This would be a terrible failure on their part. But Jesus is recognizing that what they are about to do was part of God's divine plan for Jesus' suffering. That all he was about to experience, he would have to face alone. And so the result of that is what Jesus says here in John 16, "And will leave me alone." And so we observe the Lord Jesus in the gospel accounts. They're in the Garden of Gethsemane, where we've been with Al many times. And at the end of that time, when the crowd comes from the chief priests with the Roman soldiers in attendance, once Peter has sheathed his sword, they all run away. When it becomes plain that Jesus will be a prisoner, the entire body of the disciples flee. What a scene that brings to our mind, to see Jesus being taken and his closest friends all running away as fast as they can. And then as he was led to trial before the Jewish leaders in the Sanhedrin, it was without human sympathy or support. John and Peter indeed returned to observe from a distance, but it was from mere curiosity to see what would happen to Jesus. There was no one standing with him in that court to support him. There was no effort to encourage his claims. There were no attempts to vindicate the Lord Jesus against the lies and the slander that were being thrown against him in that court. He had to go through it all by himself. The same was true in the trials in the various civic courts. Both before Pilate and then Herod, Jesus stood all alone. No one came forward to his defense. There was no friend there to console him or support him as these leaders made sport of him. And then as the soldiers took their turn, first mocking him by dressing him up as a king and then brutalizing him with their whips, Jesus was all alone. As he traveled to the cross, there was no one to draw alongside and minister to him. It seemed everyone was afraid to associate with the Lord Jesus in these experiences. The same was true when he got to Golgotha, as they pounded the nails into his hands and feet. No one came forward to object. No one protected him of his innocence. He was all alone. There were some who grieved and watched from a distance, but no one came forward as a true friend to comfort and console in this time of trial. He was alone in his suffering. This experience of being alone, and the fact that Jesus obviously felt it very deeply, is another manifestation of the true humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Usually, when we think of demonstrations of his humanity, we might think of his hunger or thirst on various occasions, his tiredness and need to sleep. All of those things point to the fact he was truly a man. But here, his humanity is presented to us in terms of social need, a craving for human fellowship. How often do we find this in Jesus' ministry? When he chose those 12 men as his disciples, We read that he chose them to be with him. He wanted them with him. He didn't want to walk the roads and lanes of Israel all by himself. He wanted to be surrounded by human companionship. When he went up onto the Mount of Transfiguration and was changed and his glory was revealed and he heard from his father and met with Moses and Elijah, you would have thought he would have been glad to do that alone. But he took James and Peter and John along with him for that occasion. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as we've heard, he urged them to come with him and enter into this time with him in watching and praying. He desired their human fellowship in the time of his greatest human need. It ought to be a great encouragement to every believer to recognize that Jesus knows what it means to be lonely. How often is that part of our human experience as we go through life? Loneliness isn't just the absence of people. It can be that. But even more than that, loneliness is the absence of people who seem to care. You can be surrounded by people and still feel lonely. David complained of that in Psalm 142. He said, "Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul." David was in the cave at that point, hiding from Saul, who was pursuing him. Many men, hundreds of men actually, had joined themselves to David in his cause, but still he was lonely. There was no Jonathan, no close friend to come along and encourage him in the Lord and enter into his experience of rejection. And we have a Savior who understands that perfectly. Just look at him going through all of this experience of suffering and death. And yes, there's lots of people around, but he's all alone. Who is coming to minister to him? Who is seeking to encourage him? Who is making it plain, Jesus, we're standing with you? There was nobody. He was all alone. That brings us, secondly, to consider the answer to loneliness. And we see here in this text that for Jesus, it was fellowship with the Father. Fellowship with the Father. Despite being forsaken by his closest human friends, Jesus could go on to say in our text, "Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me." Here is obviously a comment on the faithfulness of his Father in contrast to the failure of his disciples. They might forsake him, they might run away, they might fail to stand with him, but not his Father. His Father had been his close friend and associate from the days of eternity. He would not be ashamed of him as he took up his redemptive work. He would be there to comfort and support him. You have this testimony of the friendship of the Father and the Lord Jesus all throughout the Gospel of John. It's actually fascinating just to sit down with John's Gospel and read it all through from that perspective of the relationship between the Father and the Lord Jesus. There are notes of his constant communion with his Father. Throughout the Gospels, we see the Lord Jesus getting up early in the morning, going out into waste places so that he might speak with his Father. And throughout this Gospel, he kept saying to the people, "The works that you see me doing, they're not my works. They're the works my Father has given me to do. The words that I'm speaking, they're not my own words. They're my Father's words that he has given to me to speak." and we see him anxiously pursuing the Father's glory. He could say back in chapter 8, when he was in a time of crisis, a time of challenge from the religious leaders, "And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." Jesus was conscious of his Father being right there with him through all the experiences of the days of his ministry. This would be manifested in the very next chapter, if we had time to go on and look at chapter 17, as Jesus prays the high priestly prayer to his Father and seeks his Father's glory and also that glory that they shared together even before the days of creation. We have intimations in the Gospels of the Father's ongoing ministry through these hours of his suffering. In Luke 22, in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he prays in agony about doing his Father's will, an angel is sent to him from heaven to strengthen him. What an encouragement for Jesus to remember his Father had not forgotten him. Here was the indication of a true friend. Jesus' encouragement through these hours of suffering was the friendship of his Father. How then do we understand that cry of abandonment from the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? When the Father and the Son had the closest possible relationship from all eternity, why would he abandon him now in the hour of his greatest need? Well, it's the great mystery of the cross, isn't it? The Bible tells us that when our sins were laid on Jesus, the Father turned his face away. When he poured his wrath out upon his Son as the penalty for our sins, he abandoned him at that moment. That must have been the very pinnacle of his sufferings. Not what experienced in the courts when they threw the accusations against him. Not when he was condemned before Pilate. Not when the soldiers took out their whips. Not when the nails were nailed through his hands and his feet. But when his Father finally turned away. But that separation was not to be permanent. For as both Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven would testify, God was pleased with the work of his Son. The glory that they shared together before the foundation of the world would be restored. Jesus would be exalted to the position of greatest power and authority and sovereignty in the universe. Fellowship with his Father was restored. It should give to us a greater appreciation of the cross, because not only was Jesus paying for our sins, Jesus was abandoned by God that we might never be abandoned. He has brought us into a peace with God that is permanent. Nothing about that relationship can ever change. Brethren, here the Lord Jesus reveals to us the true answer to our loneliness. We may feel forsaken by human friends. We may feel as though no one cares for us. But our God promises, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you even to the end of the age." And one of the blessings of heaven is that there will no longer be any loneliness, because we will enjoy the blessed fellowship of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, world without end. Well, let's take our blue hymn book.